Oh no, where's that screen we're normally staring at?
He gypped us of the screen.
I'll stare at you.
She likes to gaze upon herself.
Can they hear what we're saying right now?
No.
And speaking of adventures, what are we talking about today, Laurel?
Oh, I don't know. What are we talking about today? I just woke up.
Okay. Yeah, you just woke up and quick injustice.
Yeah.
Nico, the guy, makes delicious coffee here at Pioneer Lab with Billy, is never here.
Ever.
When we need to drink coffee, which is in the morning. So that's an injustice.
That it opens at 8 o'clock?
Yeah, I'm almost done with my coffee already. What am I going to do?
Okay, Ashley, really, what are we talking about today?
We are, well, you know, it's been a long time since it's just been the two of us.
Just the two of us. Mm. We can make it if we try. Just the two of us. You and I.
You and I.
He had to go solo, didn't he?
One of us was going to. So today we thought we would just have a little fun, go back to our roots, spend some QT together, and talk about how to have an adventurous marriage. We're going to talk about our husbands today. But only the good stuff.
While they're not here.
Yep. So we look at each other all the time and say,
Damn, we're really lucky.
We are lucky. I mean, usually something happens. I don't know what it is. And I'm thinking, gosh, man, we are lucky. We're lucky ladies.
We are.
Yeah. So we want to edify our husbands today, and we want to talk about how to have like good, solid, adventurous marriage through
lots of stuff, the ups and downs.
Ups and downs. Not that we have any of those.
None.
But for those of you out
there,
it's
all downs.
Do have for those of you out there that are on the roller coaster of life in your marriage, we're speaking to you.
Yeah. So, of course, as usual, we're going to do some post-session notes, run into an injustice of the week, dive a little deeper, drift into the God waters, and maybe there'll be some marriage homework.
Maybe. I can think of the obvious homework.
What?
Well, let's just, well, post-session notes, Laurel. What do you have for us here?
Well, the water's warm. Hallelujah. And there's been lots of surf. It's been a steady stream of surf.
Wait, what does warm mean to you?
70 degrees. We broke 70. All right. You could go bareback, but I've been in my spring suit. And you know why?
It's more comfortable?
No, because I look thinner.
Oh, yeah. It sucks you in, right? It's like Spanx on the beach.
With shorts and a short sleeve shirt, kind of. Yeah,
it's perfect, really. I love the wetsuit for that reason.
Okay, how about you? You just did a class or something, right?
Yeah, for us, the water is still really cold. we got offshore class before last, which was awesome, beautiful. Maybe I already talked about that. I don't know. The last class we did this past weekend, we went to the Quarry Mystery Lake Scuba Park. Why did they call it Mystery Lake?
Wait, I think you should tie this to your marriage. So y'all were on the boat. So that could be your post-session note. You just got off the boat.
What boat?
Your sailboat that was parked in front of your house.
You're talking about we were living on the boat?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, for but everyone.
But not on an adventure. Well, a different kind of adventure.
Yeah. Let me clarify for everybody who's just as confused about Laurel's comments as I am right now. I just connected the dots because I've colored in this book before. Okay. So I know where we're going. She's talking about we're doing a house renovation right now, and we were living on the boat in front of the house, and we were not traveling on the boat. We were just living on it, and we moved out of the boat into the house, still on a mattress on the floor, but in the house.
Hey, that's an adventure in itself.
That is an adventure. Yeah, that was great. It was really good. I love when we travel on our boat, but for some reason, living on the boat in the front yard and swatting mosquitoes and just dealing with the...
There's not as much breeze on the river, is there, as on the like open water?
No, there's not. But even though the river does get a breeze, if you're at a dock, you don't get that breeze in your boat because the benefit of being on the boat at anchor is that you anchor and the boat points into the wind, so you get constant wind through the hatches. Mm. And you do not get that when you're sitting on the stanky stang docky dock.
So were the kids stoked to go from the boat to the house?
Or? Oh, yeah. And just, I think it was yesterday or the day before, we actually put Cape's bed in his room. He was not stoked about that, though.
He likes sleeping on the floor.
And he's like, who am I going to snuggle with now?
No.
Because he can't. You know, because now it's like, oh, well, go to your room and sleep. And he's not all about that. But he is all about decorating his room. So he took all his little figurines. Our buddy Spidey gave me a bunch of Star Wars stuff yesterday, Lego stuff. So he took all his figurines and set them out as a three-year-old would.
Oh, yeah.
One after the other. Till he ran out of space.
Does he have a favorite figurine?
It's either going to be, you know, to be Yoda. Honest, it's probably Darth Vader. He's just such a commanding presence and has a cool costume. And he's plastic, but also has the cloth
cape
behind him. Oh, yeah. So that's appealing to a young one. Or it might be the M&M's Jedi guy.
Okay, M&M's.
It's an M&M dressed like a Jedi, you know. Chocolate Jedi. This is not a post-session note.
It is. And I'll say Don actually got in the water for the first time since Puerto Rico.
Oh, which brings me to my next point. Why haven't you been in my house to see our progress?
Mm. It has been a busy couple of weeks.
Putting you on the spot.
Yeah.
Sister.
I'll be there today. I mean, tomorrow.
Yeah, right. Okay.
Never mind. Okay, let's move on into...
Let's.
The injustice of the week. That was a little weak.
Yeah.
Just gonna say that.
Yeah. Well, Billy's got our back. Here
okay,
we go.
Okay. Okay. So this for an injustice, I'm gonna pull a story from a friend. I won't say who.
Can I?
No. And we were at our little get together and well, there's really two injustices there because we were at a friend's boat. But it wouldn't, like, I was all stoked. This was the first time we were going to go out on her boat, and it didn't work.
Wait, was this for small group?
Yeah.
Okay, because we hosted small group one time on Hope Lee, and it was actually sinking when everybody showed up. That was awkward.
That's an injustice.
That was awkward.
Yeah, so we just sat on the boat. But then another friend was telling a story about having a dream that her husband had cheated on her.
No.
Have you ever had that kind of dream?
Yeah.
Have you had the opposite dream? Like where you were cheating on him?
Yeah, recently. Recently.
I got to tell you the dream I had last night.
I regretted it.
But I've had those dreams too. And I wake up and I like grab his hand. And I'm like,
guilty. Yeah.
Are you still there?
I know.
You
don't
leave
me.
Yes,
been there.
Yeah, okay. So, but in this story, she has that dream. It was very realistic.
She's the cheater.
No, he's the cheater.
Oh, he's the cheater. Right.
So, very realistic. She wakes up. She's angry. Like, angry as all get out.
I get that, though. I mean, I get it. Like, obviously, it's not rational, and you got to let that go. But I get it, because I've been there.
So,
where you
got
look
mad.
At him a little bit. You're thinking,
sideways.
You.
Sorry, sack up.
Junk. How could you do that to me? And then I've also gotten angry thinking about the dreams that he might be having that he's not telling me, too. I'm like, you're cheating on me every night, aren't you? But our mind, you know, it has a hard time distinguishing between what we're actually doing and what we're just thinking. So it does become pretty real. You can have an emotional reaction to those thoughts.
Sure. Okay. But then they went out to dinner that night, and she was still mad. I kind of felt like this poor guy, like, he didn't even do anything.
Like when she was...
She had the dream.
She... What was he cheating on her with somebody that she...
That she knew.
Yeah, or thinks is threatening in some way, because that could make it persist also.
I didn't ask that. I was just judging her.
Yeah, for being a terrible person. Yeah. Did she Did she address him? Was she like, I'm so mad at you right now?
I mean, she told him why. And I thought it was kind of cute because, like, I was like, what? What? You and you were mad that night? Like, she said he was, like, you know, acting like nothing was wrong later that night at dinner.
Because nothing was wrong?
Like, having a good time. And she's like, how dare you?
How could Don't you be having know? Fun? You were just sleeping with 12 hours ago. In my mind.
Yeah.
Well, that's nuts.
But then it was kind of sweet because, you know, I was kind of like trying to comprehend it. And he goes, you know, I hear that's not that uncommon for women. I just cackled.
Does he mean like I hear women are crazy and this kind of thing can happen, this irrational behavior?
Well, I think he was like, this was kind of scary. Like, she's mad at me all day long. And then I better, you know, like, thank God this does happen to other men.
You know what?
I'm not alone.
I don't bring that stuff up, though.
Oh, you don't?
When
you
just, I have the cheating
dream.
You just
get mad at him and you don't know why?
Maybe I have some bad feelings, but I don't tell him, like, you were cheating at me, or I was definitely cheating on you last night. Mm-hmm, I just let it go.
That's not what you just said 2 seconds ago. You said you were pissed.
Yeah. Oh, well.
And he doesn't know why. So you just, like, underhandedly mean to him the next day.
I don't keep it going.
Okay.
You get that initial kind of
pissed offness, then you get out of bed.
You don't. Yeah.
I don't know. I've had when he did, like, in my dream, but I had the opposite dream last night that it was weird. I'll tell you about it.
You were
not
cheating.
On the air. Yeah. But, you know, usually I'm like, and in the dream, like, not only was he cheating, but he left me. You know, and I was like, broke up, you know, and then, you know, wake up, he's going to the bathroom, and I'm like, oh, he's still here.
Isn't it almost a relief when you have one of those dreams? It's almost relieving when you have one of those dreams. It's like, oh, yeah, things could be horrible, but they're not.
Yeah. Phew. Thank God. We're not in a bad place.
No.
It's like the dream that you have. Well, nobody else may have had this dream, but when I used to smoke. You know, when I was a teenager, 20s, and then when
That's
I quit,
terrible.
And then when I quit, I would have dreams that I still smoked, and I'd wake up like, oh my God, I thought I was going to have to quit again. It was such a nightmare. Anyway, okay, let's flush this.
We need to talk about that again some other time.
Okay.
Yeah,
my exploits.
That one anyway. Okay, there goes the potty.
Mm-hmm.
It's a high volume flush.
And a long one, like a swirly.
Yeah, it's not one of those efficient toilets. But anyway, we're going to dive a little deeper, and we're going to talk about an adventurous marriage. Step one, don't be telling your spouse when you have the cheating dream. Step two.
Don't stay mad at him.
Yeah, don't stay mad at him.
Okay, well, let me tell you what Dom said when I said what our podcast was going to be about.
What?
He said, well, what are you going to talk about? Because what do you mean an adventurous marriage?
Well, you know, first of all, that's not encouraging. Second of all.
Think about it. It's me.
When I started to look at this stuff to write it, and you posed the question, Ashley, what is an adventurous marriage? Thanks for throwing that on me, by the way. I'm thinking, that's a good point. What are we talking about?
I had no doubts until Dawn said that, and then I'm like, oh. What is an adventurous marriage?
It is. You're right. We probably should have asked ourselves that question. Well, here we are.
And maybe we should move into the DM.
Yep. Joke's on you guys. We forgot to write anything. So let's see. An adventurous marriage. Mm-hmm. It can mean different things, right? But what I think we're really talking about is having a perfect marriage, right?
What?
Okay. I think an adventurous marriage means, when I think of an adventurous marriage, I think of two people that strike out and conquer together.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
I'm a firm believer in a solid partnership as a foundation for a successful marriage.
Sure.
You know, so when you're climbing the mountain, you've got one person up front. Whoopsies. Don't put the coffee down on that table. Put it down on that loud, clanky one. So anyway, you got somebody climbing the mountain, and they're hooking in the
carabiners.
They're screwing the thing in with the carabiner, and the other person's like, here's some rope, you know. And then they switch when one gets tired, and it is kind of a partnership, a dance. So the two are operating as a team, ascending together. And what I mean is, I don't mean one of like a money power couple where they're, you know, I'm a real estate agent and I'm the broker and here we go. We're going to do this together. And
make lots of money.
Make all the money. That's really not what I'm getting at. We're looking at something a little deeper here, right? Yeah.
Okay.
So, what do you think?
Well,
you totally agree with me, right?
Of course. Completely. It made me think of when you were saying that. So Don and I, we don't have kids, but we did foster for 6 years, and it was very tag team. And I'm imagining, you know, Billy's sitting here, and then Ashley, y'all both have kids, and there's the handoff. You know, you'd like it to be a soft handoff, but sometimes it's not a soft handoff. It's a, she's beating on the window, you know, yeah. She might bust through. Go get her.
Sometimes it's not a soft handoff. That's true. But you know what? That also makes a good partnership when your spouse can step in.
Mm-hmm.
Like when Ren sees that my head's about to pop off because it's so full of blood and kind of rage.
Pulsing.
And then he'll go, hey, I got this. I got this.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll tell me, you go outside.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll go outside. Then he'll handle it.
Nice.
But really, you don't want Papa Bear to handle it.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, you do.
You just don't want him to handle it better than you?
No, he will. It's more like if he sees that I get to that point, the kids are probably in trouble.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Smacked with the dog toy.
Oh, that was me. So.
No, I thought you were talking about you. You were talking about Ren.
No, I smacked Donnie with the dog
toy. I know. Yeah. I know.
And he didn't stop me.
But well, he didn't know it. I think it happened pretty suddenly.
No, he did say he was shocked and he was like nervous about the whole thing. But anyway, let's talk more about an adventurous marriage.
Wait, let's come back to that real quick. So what I liked about that situation was how later that night, well, y'all were over and Ren said, there's just a little piece of me that was very happy that that happened. He said, you know, had that happened to him, like, you would have freaked out on him.
Oh, yeah. Because I don't know, Billy, do you have that experience where your wife's always trying to protect the kids from you? Because she, or maybe it's just us. We're abusive. I don't know what it is. But when Ren.
He has a, you know, when he gets upset, you're like, oh, he's overreacting.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Stop. They're precious children, blah, blah, blah.
And then you overreact, and he's like, oh,
yeah, the
I can use
have
that
turned.
Again. Yes.
Yeah.
What an interesting turn of events.
You guys have that dynamic? You do?
He's nodding yes.
Yeah, and you try to, you know, you try not to undermine the authority of your partner, but I always undermine his authority. I'm like, shh, no, Dad will get mad, you know, or Ren, stop, calm down, and... And I think the kids think it's a big joke. I don't know.
Okay, so confession. So the when we had the twins,
yes,
for like a year,
mm-hmm.
and one of them was starting to have these meltdowns very regularly. She was having the meltdowns mainly at daycare, and she was hitting the other kids during nap time with her stuffy.
Okay.
And they kept calling me from work. I had to go there, and she was like fit to be tied. And then, Yeah, and so. That day we came home, one of the days we came home, and she had to stay in her room while her twin was outside playing with the neighbor. And she saw them out the window, so she was beating on the window. Well, Don had come in from work, and I was like, Don, help. I don't know what to do. You know, she's freaking out. So he goes in there, and she starts kind of attacking and biting him. So don't tell DSS this, but like he lifted her up. By her feet.
Body slammed her.
No, he just held her out. So, like, held his arms out so she couldn't reach him to bite him.
Wow.
And he's like, I'll put you down as soon as you calm down. And so she would, you know, was trying to reach a leg. And so he, you know, held her out. And I'm watching, like, you know, like.
Yeah, you're thinking this is the worst thing ever.
Yeah. And so finally she's like, okay. So he sat her down in the timeout chair.
Wow.
But, you know, I don't think we would have probably had a report on us.
I think probably it's not so nutso when it's your own kid, because your own kid, they kind of, yeah, like kids aren't trying to bite you and stuff. It's different when you're working with a mixed bag, like a foster.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, this podcast should be called Parenting Foibles. I have way more stories.
Let's get back to what does an adventurous marriage look like? And I guess definition is like doing things a little bit maybe out of the ordinary or being willing to like do something that is not the norm. Because I look at y'all's marriage and I think, you know, y'all leave half the year, you get on a boat, you rent your house. But before you had the house, you had the condo. So you rent your own place and then leave for 3 months. And it's kind of like what the income is going to be is up in the air.
Yeah, you know what? You bring up a good, you know, you made me think of something that's a good point. I think an adventurous marriage and being able to strike out and do things that are kind of unusual requires extreme trust. And over the years, you know, even when I don't want to, I have that trust for Ren. Like, okay, so we're in a boat, for instance, and maybe the engine's acting up or something, and everybody on the boat's like, oh, what do we do, you know? And I'm thinking, just give him 5 minutes. God, it's going to be fine. He'll fix it.
You probably didn't have that, though, the first time y'all ventured out.
Okay, so the first time we adventured out. Adventure. Nice. Mm. The first time we adventured out to go on a sailing adventure like that, we pushed our boat off the dock, and the transmission wouldn't work.
Oh, wow.
So his mom and a neighbor are watching us, and they're waving, thinking they won't see us for 6 months, and really we have to drop the anchor right in front of the dock and fix it. So it was not textbook start to the adventure. But for me, again, you know, I had already developed that trust through consistent behavior and all of those things that Ren has. He's pretty
dependable.
Stable and dependable that way. And so, yeah, we can do things. And even when I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, what about this? And what about that? You know, because I'm kind of
the worrier.
More of the worrier. I've been working on that for a long time. I worry a lot less than I used to.
Wow.
That's God working in me.
Yeah.
You know? But anyway, with that worrying or with you know, I consider those things. Well, what about the kids? And what are we going to do? And what about money?
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I trust him. And his stability, and so we
and God
do it. Yeah, well, obviously, but we're talking about.
Yeah, we're talking.
Come on, okay. Come on! Don't put me on the spot.
Well, and then I look at you know, maybe how you've grown in that, and then y'all bought this house that was a dump.
Yeah,
but you saw the potential. I mean, it's on the river for one, but you looked at this thing that was not. It wasn't dilapidated, but it was put together in a really bad way, and it was not cared for. It was not, the upkeep was down. I mean, you just saw this diamond in the rough. But a lot of people told you guys, like, what are you thinking?
Oh,
Don't
do this, or our buddy Jason said, well, why don't you just tear this down and start over? And I was thinking, because we don't have an extra $200,000 to build a house.
Yeah.
But thanks for the advice.
And maybe that's part of what an adventurous marriage looks like, is something that despite, and maybe that's just adventure in your life, period. Despite the naysayers, because I think the people who love you the most are often the naysayers because they're like, oh, I want the best for you. And this can't be the best for you.
I don't want you to struggle.
Right. But. Yeah. The struggle is part of the payoff.
The struggle is part of the payoff. And you probably know this as well as I do at this point. When we do get the naysaying, when somebody's like, oh, you can't do that, or you can't find property for this, or you can't, for Ren and for me,
you know, it's a motivator. It's
like, may our powers combine. You know, we do our secret handshake, and we are laser focused at that point. It definitely is a motivator.
Yeah. You know,
just not to prove people wrong, but to be like, we got this.
You think we can't do it? Oh, yeah. We can do it.
I mean, we might have our differences or whatever, but as a team working towards a goal, we can do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I bet Billy knows this too, because his family's getting ready to, or they're selling everything and moving to Puerto Rico and renting out their house and making it happen, and you know, not really confident of what's next. Maybe not unconfident, but I mean, they
don't care. They don't care. They say we'll live in a ditch as long as we have a blanket.
They've got a place.
You know what? Have you guys ever read The 4-Hour Work Week? This guy, who wrote it again? I forget.
Did
the
you
guy,
read
Tony,
it, Billy?
Whatever.
I haven't read it.
I don't recommend it. Ashley's recommended it a couple
of
times.
Here's why. Because there's this one sentence. It's the one thing that I can really remember and take away from the book.
The nugget.
It's the nugget. He wrote this book to make $1 billion and then wrote several books just like it. You know,
well, because the first one did well. Because who doesn't want to make $1 million on a 4-hour work week?
I mean, exactly.
Whatever.
And it's not practical for everybody. But the thing he said when it comes to taking risk that I really appreciated was think about the worst possible thing that could happen. And if you can imagine the worst possible thing happening, and I don't mean like a child dies. I mean, you run out of money and these bad things happen. If it's palatable, what happens to you after that? Then why not take the risk? And for us, which I don't know if you're in this position,
Billy. I don't know if palatable is the word that he would use because it doesn't taste good.
But it's doable.
But it's doable.
You can swallow it down, plug your nose.
Okay. Yeah.
But maybe you're right. Anyway, for us, you know, we've got all this family support and things like that. So there was no way we were going to end up
destitute,
you know, selling meth. And doing the whole nine. That just would not happen. So we think, well, heck yeah, that gives us some fuel and some confidence in the adventure too. Maybe you feel the same way. You got a pretty strong family and good friends and you probably got savings.
Well, I mean, we kind of did the whole part of our, I guess, adventure was paying off everything. What would it look like to pay off everything?
Look good.
Yeah, and then we just picked a random date that rhymed. Debt-free in 2023. And because we kind of had that on the brain, we just started working towards it. And it's amazing, like, when you start with a vision and you are working towards something, how other things kind of come together that made it happen much faster. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, we came out, like, four years early, maybe. And so we're able to say, okay, well, we don't have any debt, so let's buy a place in Puerto Rico.
Yeah. Well, you know, when you have a goal like that, all your thought process is focused on that goal.
Mm-hmm.
So when you do make that extra dollar or this or that, you are saving it.
Right.
You know, you're putting everything towards that goal. And
I just have to say,
focused.
Dawn, you got to have that person who, like you maybe are for the finance person, but Dawn's very consistent and, you know, can do that. You know, like, I don't think, had it been me and another person like me, we wouldn't have been successful.
You would have been debt-free in 2053.
Yeah.
It took a few more years than we planned.
Yeah.
We got there after the 30-year loan was up.
Right. Yeah. And refinanced again.
Yeah. A couple times. get it down.
Well, all right. What about, let's see. What else are we going to talk about in the adventurous marriage? Nothing.
No. We nailed it.
Yeah, let's
Devo.
Does an
adventurous marriage need to mean actually going on an adventure, though? Let's talk about real quickly. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to go. Oh, for all of you that don't see the video, she's just doing the circles with the hand
thing. Wrap it up.
You know, because we promised this was going to be a shorter one. But for an adventurous marriage, for those that aren't traveling and doing those kinds of things, how do they keep their marriage adventurous?
Sex.
Which brings us to our homework.
Ooh. Do it somewhere different. No, we got to go to the Devo.
Oh, yeah. Let's do the Devo.
So I had thought of one thing and then you thought of something else. What is this?
Okay. I thought.
Ashley's doing the Devo today.
You know, because you can look at in the Bible about, here's how, you know, marriage and the bride of Christ and the whole thing. There's a lot of marriage.
Proverbs 31 woman. She's this woman and she does this and she's up before dawn and she's selling and buying and making a beautiful life for her family.
That's right.
That's
like
Proverbs 31.
Like me. But I didn't want this to be about me.
No.
So I said,
the rest of us.
What about the relationship between man and woman through God's lens? What does God say about... I want to talk about Song of Solomon. I want to talk about a book that nobody ever reads in church.
Yeah, they don't.
They don't.
You never hear a sermon on the Song of Solomon.
Always
Solomon.
The freaking Gospels. Stealing the show. Tell us about that book and tell us why it's so interesting and why it just should, why is it in the Bible to begin with?
Well, we should have pulled out a scripture from it.
Well, but maybe their homework's to read the whole book. It's not that long.
Okay. Well, and maybe just read a few chapters of it. But okay. Basically, it is sexual in nature. There is a pursuer and this woman. And, I mean, it's very graphic language of sex.
Especially for the Bible.
Well, yeah. I mean, especially for the Bible. And that's what I kind of get annoyed with, this idea of a prudish God.
Yeah, puritanical. Kinda.
Yeah, do it missionary style.
Right, right.
Like, the poor missionaries, they're probably super adventurous in lovemaking. And,
that's right.
You know, now they got labeled. Mm-hmm. Where's, like, the rites and,
where
you know.
Where did missionary style come from?
Right.
You think it came from the missionaries?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
But, I mean, it might have been. Like, that's the only way you're allowed to do it, if you join our group.
No. I don't know. We're going to have to look into that.
Yeah, we'll get back
to you. Circle back. Probably not. But anyway, this book, it is. I remember the first time stumbling across it and thinking, what? This is out of place. But then again, I had read it right after Ecclesiastes, which also is pretty interesting. It's a different kind of book. It's not,
it's philosophical in nature.
Right, which it resonated with me when I was first coming into the faith. Because when you start with the first five, it's heavy, and you need it for all the backstory, you know, Noah and Moses, and it sets the scene for what God's going to do. But yeah, there's a lot of begatting, there's a lot of rules and all that. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, you go over to the Gospels.
Don't have sex with a donkey.
Don't do it.
Someone's in the kitchen with donkey.
That's weird.
That's not in the Bible.
That's weird.
What is
Why'd
that?
You just say that, what weirdo?
Is it from a movie? Wait, what? Shrek, right? In Eddie Murphy, the donkey?
Yeah, it might.
Okay.
That's a hilarious movie, by the way.
Yeah.
Oh, speaking of, not to derail the conversation.
Again.
But Mitchells versus the Machines. Have you seen it yet, Billy? Oh, my gosh. Hilarious.
Okay.
It's on Netflix.
It's a kid
Mitchells
movie?
Versus the Machine. Yeah, it's a kid movie, but it's for everybody.
Okay.
It's really good. Highly recommend it. But
back
anyway,
to
where were we going? Yeah, so then you got the Gospels, and that's obviously the most important.
Meat.
Yeah, meat, because that's where Jesus comes on the scene.
But
and tells
the sex
us everything.
Is the potatoes. Song of
Who
Solomon.
Who wants meat without the potatoes? It's just so interesting to have this little book nestled in there.
Mm-hmm. That has all that language. And I mean, I just feel like that God wants us to delight in our
partner.
And,
wife, spouse.
Yeah. And part of that is sex. And I mean, he gave us all these parts that are sexual. I mean, he gave us the clitoris.
My mom listens to this. My mom listens to this. Your
mom
listens to this. Stop it. Stop it.
But would God have made those parts if he didn't want us to have a good time?
No, he wanted us to have a good time.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It wasn't supposed to be
like
punishment.
Yeah.
Like childbirth.
Well, that wasn't the curse.
No, that part wasn't the curse.
Yeah.
So I think if you really want a good handle about what God thinks about an adventurous relationship with your spouse, read that book. Read Song of Solomon and see what he thinks about it.
Yeah, that's what God, how he designed it.
Yeah.
All right.
Tell you.
That's cool. Good homework.
That's the good homework.
So let's wrap it up.
Bring us home.
You can be added to our newsletter at our website. Just give us your email. We don't pawn that stuff off. Nobody's gonna have it. It's just us.
We're too busy for that.
And that means you'll get invited and know in advance about movie night, breath hold class.
Yeah.
We had an awesome movie night.
Yeah, if you missed movie night, I'm sorry. It was fun.
It was so fun.
We're gonna do another one.
Yeah, because it was so fun.
But we have to do something else so it doesn't get stale. We have to do something else in between.
Yeah, sure.
What are we thinking about for our next event?
Maybe a surf workout on the beach.
Yeah, maybe the surf workout. Or we were talking about
what?
A beginning surf lesson, weren't we?
Oh, yeah. Well, Joe Pickett, if you're listening, we did
answer
reach out to
email.
You.
Yeah. Quit ghosting us, Joe.
All right. Thank you guys so much for listening and gals. We appreciate you. And feel free to check out the Instagram account and see what's going on and pictures. There is the Post-Session Podcast mug.
Ooh.
That could be yours.
I forgot mine, but look what it looks like clinking against someone else's mug.
Boom. Yeah. All right, guys. Have a good day.
Bye.
Nailed it.
I think I think for not having written the episode, we did pretty well. I don't know. What do you think, Billy? Give us some feedback.
Yeah, how'd it go?
My favorite episode so far.
Oh, but he's not listening to
any. You say that about
any...
all the episodes. Yeah. We can't trust you, can we?
No, you guys have like such a funny banter. It's so funny.
Aww. It is fun. It is fun.
So you guys are like comedians.